This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
David, I feel like we haven't spoken in months.
It's been a week.
I know. I miss you.
Yeah, no, I missed you. But why do you feel like every week here is like a month? It's just crazy.
Oh, no.
Got to mention my Orioles, though. 12 runs.
Yeah.
Could be the highlight of the season. Who knows?
I think with Adley Rutschman, you can't judge him in April when he starts to get tired in July. That's when, because they use him too much.
Exactly. The whole team, could argue that. But, exactly.
So it's so difficult to know. I've had, I do actually prepare for my interviews, believe it or not. And I never know where to start. With the since we started here January 20th, so I'm going to leave it sort of open to you to where you'd like to start, whether it's anything budgetary or Hegseth or Signalgate or Doge. What do you want?
Well, let's look at it from 20,000 feet, if you know what I mean. Because right now, an interesting week in Washington, where news-wise, there wasn't a lot of big news. There wasn't much. I mean. There weren't big headlines other than the Signal thing, which I'll get to in a minute. But all the budget and taxes and executive orders and all that stuff, it's weird. Washington's in this odd, not wait-and-see period, but everybody wants to see the next chapter of this drama. We could argue that we've seen things like this before with new presidents. They come in, they're bulls in a china shop, I can use a cliche. They change this, they change that, they put their program out, whether it's Obamacare or Ronald Reagan threatening to close 100 some agencies, and then things settle down after Easter. The 100 days is over, reality sets in, members of Congress go back home, constituents say, wait a minute, we don't want Medicaid cut, we don't want all this craziness, you're affecting us. No one knows if that's going to happen, so Washington's in a weird mood right now, but the one thing that is dominating concern is this whole thing with the Signal chat, the whole thing with the national security. Does that tell us that this administration is incompetent, that these people don't know what they're doing, which was a fear of Democrats and even some Republicans, or is this just a one-off? That's of tremendous concern right now. So, again, we're waiting to see the next chapter of this, which I think, by the way, is going to come in the next week or two. And if I can go on for a second.
Yeah, please.
The reason being, Congress is only in this coming week and the week after. Then they break for 2.5 weeks for Easter and Passover. They're going to take up a big budget bill. This is going to be the bill that will eventually include the tax cuts and the spending cuts and all the things that Trump wants. Can they get this done by April 11th? If they can, then they're off to the races and we see where the next chapter goes and the national security thing. It's not going to be forgotten, but it'll just be a blip. But if they can't get their act together, and right now we don't know if they can, again, then you see what you and I will be talking about in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that is what's wrong with these guys.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, you hear the counter arguments. You know, it's the nothing burger, or, you know, like, and then now that people say, well, what would you do if this happened in Biden's administration, or maybe it was sabotaged and someone set them up? But even still, if it was sabotaged, then they got sabotaged. You know, I mean, there's got to be a working internal system that's better than that. By the way, Ashley in Manchester won the Sox tickets. Connor Wong was the player of the game, so you can cross that off the list for the near future. We're talking with David Lightman from McClatchy, D.C. On the flip side, I mean, and again, from where I sit, the Democrats are kind of a mess, and we don't know if Schumer's going to survive as minority leader, but there are some voices, whether you like them or don't like them, support them or don't support them. There's a couple of voices in Connecticut who are trying to be front and center. You know, first Murphy know about. Hymes has been... Hymes is not afraid. He's gone on Fox News. Made the rounds with Will Cain, and then Blumenthal is trying to get involved too.
Yeah, Murphy's the one I think is interesting to watch, because Democrats right now, they don't have a clear leader. They don't have a clear direction. Schumer, by the way, I think will survive, at least this Congress. There is no great rumbling of any insurrection. Now, if he stumbles again, that's another matter, but at the moment... I think we can put that one to rest. He's going to, whether he'll survive beyond this Congress, that is in, 2027 is another question, but for now I think he's fine.
Okay.
But what you've got is these younger members jockeying for leadership, not necessarily leadership of the Senate, but leadership maybe as president, and that's where Murphy comes in. I mean, Murphy's carving out a distinctive voice, an outspoken voice, and a voice where... agree or disagree with him, you're sort of learning where he stands. He's young enough, I think, is he 50 yet?
Yeah, you know, he's like 53, maybe 52.
Okay. I still remember him as a 30-year-old to beat Angie Johnson way back when.
No.
But in any event, yeah, he's one to watch. And he's comfortable with the media. He's comfortable with constituents. So he's on everyone's list. Himes is a little different. Himes is more the influential inside player, if you will. He's the one who sort of knows the intelligence. He knows foreign policy. He knows that sort of thing. I could see him becoming a powerful member of Congress, much in the same way that, say, Adam Schiff is from California, who ended up leading the impeachment.
So you think he'd run for Blumenthal's seat if he doesn't run again?
Sure looks like it, yeah.
Yeah,
he has a reputation as sort of center-left, if you will, and that's a good reputation to have in Connecticut or in most places. Yeah, because you look at the rest, Rosa DeLauro is a real power. Now, she's in the minority, but still. I mean, she was chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and now she's a top Democrat. That's a very powerful position because that committee writes the spending legislation. Courtney is highly regarded, particularly as an expert on armed services. Hayes is up and coming. I don't know that much about whether her ambitions. So, yeah, he would be the logical one, unless your governor decides to make another run at it.
Oh, you think so?
I don't, but again, I'm not close to that stuff.
I think it's third term here or retirement, but I think things have been a little less rosy for Lamont the last couple of months, and now with possible reduction in federal money coming to Connecticut, all of a sudden things get very unfun for the budget. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
It's interesting that these governors who are the stars of the Democratic Party all around the country now face these huge deficits and tough decisions. Just go down the list, Westmore in Maryland, Newsom in California, and so on.
Yeah. So. Anything else up in terms of the calendar or what's on McClatchyDC.com?
We're still watching a lot of these appointments. What the Senate's doing these days is still trying to confirm Trump nominees, and there's some coming up that are going to be controversial, particularly, what's her name, Dylan, the nominee for civil rights assistant attorney general in charge of civil rights. That's a huge one. Democrats are going to make a lot of noise about that, so we're keeping an eye on her.
Yeah, and Stefanik obviously has got to protect that seat now, so that's changed with that. But we got to run, David. Listen, we'll talk to you next week, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it as always.
All right, the great.